as a leading construction management company here in the Midwest, this isn't just where we work. It's where we live. And we take pride in that.
A Vigo County family-owned construction business dating back 100 years with a big footprint in Indiana.
Innovation takes vision. Companies that last for 100 years don't get there by taking the easy way.
Garmong Construction set its foundation in Terre Haute, first by building new homes during the housing boom in the 1920s. Then shifting to war mode, becoming a major player in manufacturing ammunition boxes during World War II. Now Garmong has transformed into a leader in constructing state prisons, jails, health facilities, housing for college students, even building Indiana's largest skate park in Evansville. Meet a key leader behind this growing business, Garmong Construction President Paul Okeson, on this edition of the Business and Beyond podcast. Hello and welcome to the Business and Beyond podcast presented by PNC. I'm Gary Dick. Paul Okeson grew up around the sound of power saws, cement mixers, and bulldozers, his dad running a construction business in Fort Wayne. He's been part of the Terre Haute-based Garmong Construction Brain Trust for almost 10 years, serving now as president. Okeson also has a passion for community, serving as a key figure in former Indianapolis Mayor Greg Ballard's administration and as a member of the host committee that brought the Super Bowl to Indianapolis in 2012. And I'm pleased to be joined on the podcast this week by Paul Okeson, president of Garmong Construction, a construction services company, management company, headquartered in Terre Haute, but offices around the state, Indianapolis, I think Fort Wayne and Evansville as well. Paul, thanks for joining me.
Absolutely. Great to be here, Gary. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I want to dive into your background in a bit because I think it's an interesting one that includes politics and community service. But first, Garmong, interesting company that, as I have watched, over the years, that really continues to raise its profile. Give us the thumbnail description of Garmong and that the headquarters in Terre Haute. Is that accurate?
Yeah, business. We just celebrated our 100th anniversary last year, wrapped up, sort of culminated with a really fun event out in Terre Haute, where, gosh, 90% of the entire company was able to come to Terre Haute and participate in that. So a real exciting time for us. Family-run business, fourth generation. So to be tapped to help run this organization for a family has been an interesting journey and a good one. Love working there. But yeah, the evolution of the organization has been a story in and of itself over its 100-year history. We learned some things as we did some historical analysis of our organization. We learned that we believe we built the first structured parking garage in Indiana back in 1927.
No kidding. Was that where was that?
That was in Terre Haute.
In Terre Haute. Wow.
Yeah, and it was a brick building, basically an old sort of warehouse type building that they converted into a parking structure. And so we've learned some neat little things like that. You know, our owners learned and said, has said a couple of times, we were building before they invented sliced bread. So really fun year last year, but really specialize in construction management above all else. And I joined the company in 2015 and really, right, wrong, or indifferent, started to focus more on the public sector side of our portfolio and really blossomed as we became attuned to taking care of public projects needs. It's a little bit different of an animal than on the private side. You don't maybe enjoy as much in the way of profitability, but your client diversity and the workflow is all there. So we've really grown exponentially over the course of the last few decades, culminating into this year. We're going to be just over a $300 million company. And when our current owner, David Hannum, whose mother on the Garmong side is still with us, third generation, so took over in 1989, and pulled the organization out of the jaws of bankruptcy and really got us onto the way of where we're headed today.
Talk about that. I think that's interesting. In the late 80s, you talk about the brink of bankruptcy. What has, in your view, really been responsible for that turnaround and that continued growth, because I, you know, we cover stories on projects. In fact, I think most recently there was news about you all leading the $66 million renovation of the Indiana State University Technology Annex, which I think is the largest project, or certainly one of them, in ISU history.
Yeah, that's right. That's we're excited about that. You know, obviously to work in the backyard of where we started the business is always, you know, we're very fond of that opportunity. Have a long history in Terre Haute with Rose Holman, of course, and Indiana State, but to tackle this project, and you said it right, is the biggest one they've undertook, is really special for us. But, you know, to answer your question, what I think I saw out of David was the willingness to be bold and to take risks and to not sort of lie down and be so passive or so conservative when things are going wrong. You know, some companies have a tendency to really attract and pull back and be conservative and cut. And I, you know, a very wise man that I worked for once said, you're either green and growing or you're ripe and rotting. And I know David really decided to put his foot on the gas, went out and sold work on his own, and really just by Herculean effort pulled the company up and got a few projects going. You know, one project can really start to change the world. And then you build on it. I call it stacking pancakes, right? But you really just put one foot in front of the other, and you commit yourself to quality, and you hire the right people. And it's not rocket science. If you remain committed to those things, what you need will come. And we've really protected the company name with each step of growth that we've experienced, because you are, you know, it's a family name. You're out there putting the family out in the forefront, and you're putting your money where your mouth is, and you're making commitments to people. And if you follow through and you hire good people, you know, good things will come. So it's really not been something in particular or any special sauce, other than just keep your word. It's the one thing you can give and still keep, you know, do the work and just put one foot in front of the other and focus on quality. And we've done that, and we've done it exceptionally well. We've got a team that is, I would hold up against anybody in the state of Indiana and beyond. And as long as we commit ourselves to hiring great people with great hearts and great talent, and we keep our word, things are going to continue to look up for us.
Yeah, you do projects all over the state, certainly. I want to zero in on your home territory, if you will, in Terre Haute. Because as I look at things going on in Terre Haute with the casino, which is getting ready to open up, the new convention center there, a couple of hotels, there's an EV. Yeah. Components plant, it would seem to me that there's as much momentum now in Terre Haute as there's been, at least in my memory. Is overstatement or not?
No, not at all. In fact, I think, you know, it's funny, you meet people along the way that you don't realize are from that part of the state. When I first started, Jim Morris sent me a nice note and invited me over for a coffee, and we talked about his past in Terre Haute, and he knew the Garmong family, and he, you know, and Rick Fusen for that matter as well, too. And we've built dealerships for his cousin who owns dealerships over there. So, you know, we think about Indiana, it's just shy of 7 million people. And it really is like the biggest small town in the country. And everybody knows everybody. And Terre Haute's, you know, a lot of great folks have been born out of Terre Haute. And it really continues here of late to sort of punch above its weight class in a special way. We had last year over $100 million in work going on in Terre Haute, which just seems, you know, unfathomable if you think about it traditionally. And you're right, the convention center, the casino, we just finished the Vigo County Jail project, which was nearly a $60 million project, ISU coming online. Rose Holman continues to do unimaginably well on its campus, and we're fortunate to be a part of that. We're bringing a new freshman dorm out of the ground over there. And so the alignment of the stars seems to have fallen on favor of Terre Haute, and we've done our best to capitalize on it to the mutual benefit of the company and the community. And it's really been a treat. We're just hopeful that trend continues. I know they've focused on some ready grant funding and some other things that I hope will bear fruit, because, you know, each one of our offices is really a company unto itself. They have slightly different client mixes, although we tend to generally focus on very similar projects, but they tend to have a little bit different mix in each of the regions, and really runs its own business. So you have four independent profit centers that kind of ultimately roll up as one. But Terre Haute's really been outpacing its share of work for sure here. And we just hope that trend continues.
Talk about in terms of big projects. We mentioned the ISU project and a couple of others, but in terms of bigger projects that really occupying your time around the state, talk about where some of those are.
Yeah. And I just left a meeting where we were talking about sort of what the economic trends of the business are coming up. And, you know, what we found is it takes as much time for an operations professional to work on a $2 million job as it does a $20 or $50 million job. And so we realized that the schedules of those longer, larger projects would afford us some opportunity to really focus on the expansion of the business. And really last year from a procurement perspective was pivotal in that regard. We chased two really large strategic projects, one being the Indiana University Health South Support Building, which is just south of the new bed tower, which is, you know, just shy of $200 million. And we're in a partnership there. And also then the state prison project up in Westville, which is way north up by Michigan City, all cash funded $1.2 billion project that is broken ground. And we're part of a three-member JV there. And so those two projects alone make up close to, you know, $400 million in work for us. And that's afforded us an opportunity to reach into Fort Wayne and open an office there back in my old hometown and to really make some investment in the right talent and spend the time and energy to really position us to take advantage of what's going on in those marketplaces as well. So the large scale projects of that nature really do enable us to grow at an unprecedented rate.
What's your sense, Paul, on the economy, especially as it relates to Indiana, as we're into 2024 now? Going into this year, there were a lot of, there was skepticism, recession, yeah. No recession. I think a lot of people are thinking second half of the year should be pretty good, but overall, fairly positive. You look at some of the projects you talk about and some of the other building projects coming online, it would seem that you know, this kind of belies any skepticism that, you know, of a bad year, that quite the contrary, maybe a really good year.
Yeah. You know, I think that's right. We have enjoyed, again, I think it's because we've positioned ourselves in this public space so much, you know, the infrastructure and the timing of need, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. It's also the mother of construction, right? When you need infrastructure, you're going to have to find a way to do it. And I think, you know, the financial well-being of Indiana as it compares to our peers around the region is in pretty good shape. You know, you see the reserves at the state level from our income position there. Again, they're spending cash on a lot of these projects to buy down some of the overwhelming reserves they've enjoyed since 2020. But I think that's supported by what the activity is out in the general marketplace. And I think at the local level too. You know, we've got a lot of great leaders in the counties and the municipalities around the state who are finding creative ways to finance and to build projects that are much needed in their communities. And we've been fortunate to position ourselves as experts in those areas. So it, you know, with interest rates at a high over the past several decades or few decades, and with construction costs just continuing to waver at an all-time high, I mean, you could build a hospital for $300 a square foot, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, and now it's $700 a square foot. So
yeah.
Things are just astronomical, but we seem to find a way to get things done. I think that's emblematic of who we are as Hoosiers, right? In spite of all the adversity we face, we find a way to get things done to make our communities launch forward. And we're just so proud to be a part of that. You know, that's the fun part at working at Garmong is that we leave an indelible print on a lot of the communities that we work in, and we become a part of the fabric of that community. And so it's a very mutually beneficial relationship, but it's just, I see interest rates hopefully coming back down, and certainly there's pent up demand on the real estate development side for sure that I think is going to break loose, but we're not hurting for work, right? It's out there and people are making things happen.
You talk about being creative in the state of Indiana, and you briefly mentioned earlier the READY grants. I can't remember the acronym, Regional Economic, basically Economic Development Grants from the state that have been bolstered now. Lilly Endowment throwing in, I think, another $500 million or some big number. How important has that been or is that to communities, to your business, but also communities around the state? Because I think it is a unique program that seems to have had enormous impact in communities and regions around the state.
Yeah, it is to call it significant would be an understatement, right? I mean, I view it as whether we work on a project that's funded in that way or not, it's the rising tide that raises all boats, right? So when you have, when things become fungible, if you can spend ready grant money on something else, and now you've freed up some sort of economic value to do something else that we can participate in, that is really good for the community. And so I think when you can take a dollar and leverage it into $2, right? The return, and even with the pricing structures and interest rates where they are, I think the old adage still tends to be true. It's never going to be less expensive than it is today mm-hmm. to build something, right? And we're fortunate that in Indiana, we have a very bright, intellectually capable client base out in local units of government who understand that and recognize we've got to leverage everything we can today to set our community up for the next 30 years. So it's been extremely helpful. And we are anxious to see this second round kind of culminate in further investment. And we're seeing communities put that money to good use. And it's really helping everybody keep the economy going.
You look at the ready grants really focused on a lot of quality of life, quality of place projects, and trying to keep talent here, but really importantly, attract talent to the state of Indiana. One of the projects you've been involved with, I think, is a great example of that. And that's the Evansville Skate Park.
Yeah.
And you know, and people will look at that and say, a skate park? I mean, what's the big deal? But I know it was a big deal there, certainly $1.7 million deal. Again, I think it was a concrete skate park that there's a lot of excitement about it down there. And it really fits into that talent attraction piece.
Well, yeah. And, you know, you talk about talent attraction and related to that, chief among our latest talent acquisitions is former Deputy Mayor Steve Schaefer down there to run our Evansville marketplace. Yeah. And you know, just a phenomenal grab for us. But, you know, the skate park in and of itself is one of those projects that got way more profile and attention than probably the value of construction in it. But it's right there along the river near the utilities, which is just a beautiful place. You know, all the things that Evansville's doing down there, really, I'm excited to watch the next decade of development and growth in that community. Certainly, former Mayor Wenneke did a lot to get that started. And I think the current administration is going to continue that. But the skate park it's amazing how much sort of notoriety that little project got and how much it brings to the physical landscape along the river there and feeds into another nice park development right next to it, adjacent to it. Those are the fun ones, right? Those are the ones when you get to do the groundbreaking and the ribbon cutting in the same year and you see how much the community is behind it and embraces it. And it's really, you're watching the amenities of place come to life in a community like Evansville. It's just really cool to be a part of that. And we couldn't have been more pleased. That's one of the ones that we really like to pop the champagne bottles on, if you will. It's been great. And to see that the people get out there and use it right away. We're lucky we didn't see anybody, you know, really crash and burn, but they really enjoyed
right.
it.
So yeah.
It's been great.
Much more with Paul Okeson, the president at Garmon Construction. When we return, we'll talk about his background in politics, community service, growing up in Fort Wayne. We'll touch on it all when the Business and Beyond podcast continues.
At PNC Bank, we're committed to making a difference in the lives of our customers and communities by helping them move forward financially. As a Main Street bank, we try to do right by our customers with every encounter. Our local teams offer personalized financial advice to help guide you in making the best decision. We're proud to be part of your community. PNC Bank. See how we can make a difference for you at pnc.com. Copyright 2022, the PNC Financial Services Group, Inc. All rights reserved.
And welcome back to the Business and Beyond podcast presented by PNC. My guest this week is Paul Okeson, president of Garmon Construction, headquartered in Terre Haute, but with offices around the state of Indiana. And Paul, in terms of your entry into the construction business, I guess it's maybe somewhat of a natural because as you look way back in Fort Wayne, did your dad run a small construction company?
Yeah, unfortunately, no longer in existence, but back in, I would say, 1974, my parents moved us from Atlanta to Fort Wayne. And my dad, they'd actually lived in Fort Wayne. My older brother, John, was the only true Hoosier in the family. My parents were from Pennsylvania, but they lived in Fort Wayne briefly where John was born and then moved a bunch. And but they made some lasting relationships there. And after I was born, my dad told my mom, we can't keep moving around like this. And they enjoyed Fort Wayne so much, they made some phone calls and ended up back up in Fort Wayne with Harry Jesse, Bob Jesse. And Harry up at Indiana Construction, a small wastewater treatment general contractor in Fort Wayne. And yeah, my dad, I used to remember him going to work. It was only about a 10-minute drive, and he traveled the country. They bid on jobs all over the place. He did work in Trinidad and Tobago and bring home coins. And
wow, yeah.
So just a really interesting sort of career for him. But yeah, I never really thought that I would find myself in the same industry, to be frank about it. So I find that a little interesting that I ended up in this world.
Yeah. So it did come full circle, but you really didn't make that connection to say, yeah, I want to get in the construction business.
Anything but. My dad made sure all of us worked at least one summer out in the field, so we knew what it was like, and really impressed upon us the need to continue our education, but that there's, you know, a lot of different ways to make a living. And I just remember, you know, our house had the phones that came bolted to the wall, you know, with the long cords. And I just remember my dad sitting at the kitchen desk at night, sometimes reading an Outdoor Life and enjoying a cigarette and a martini. And I'd say, Dad, what are you doing? He said, I'm waiting on the phone call to see if we want this job, you know, in Iowa or wherever. I just remember him telling, the only thing I remember about work, other than every once in a while seeing him with blueprints, you know, drawn out over the table and his pencil and his calculator at work, he would say, whether it's a $50,000 job or a $50 million job, something's going to go wrong because that's the nature of construction. Mm-hmm. And how you deal with it determines your fate. And I have found that to be something that sticks in the forefront of my mind on a daily basis. He's exactly right. Yeah. I wouldn't have known it at the time, but boy, those words have never come back to be true. And I'm proud to say, though, at Garmong that we hearken back to that kind of philosophy that my dad and his company held, which is how you handle the adversity will definitely make or break you. And so we try to do it right every day. But yeah, I find it interesting. I laugh all the time that I ended up in this industry because that's not where I thought I would be.
Well, you also ended up in politics too, served as chief of staff for Indianapolis Mayor Greg Ballard for 2 years. Talk about that ascension into the political realm and what that was.
Well, yeah, back in the mid-90s, Big Brother John was the youngest elected state official. He was back when clerk of the courts was a statewide position. He was 29 years old. And just, he had that bug. You know, we used to sit around the dinner table as a family, which is kind of a rare thing anymore. But
right.
I wouldn't say we were a political family, but we talked a lot about things that were outside your front door, you know, education, the way the municipalities were running, quality of life, just civic, a very civic minded driven conversation. My mom was a religious education teacher. And of course, my dad worked in a construction business. And somehow that struck John differently. And when I moved to Indianapolis, I remember I finally was starting to earn some money and do well. And I kind of just felt like something's missing, you know, like you go to work and you come home and you're like, what did I do today? What did I leave behind? And not too far into it, it was about the time that Mitch Daniels was being rumored to come back and run for governor. And I called my brother and I said, I want to really get involved in this, you know, help me. And so he connected me with a few people and we got off and running. And I did work for the governor and got on through the transition team and came aboard with him for a while and then went down to Todd Rokita's office. I kind of fancied myself as someone who might want to run for office someday. And I thought I ought to get a bird's eye view of what's that like before I do that with, you know, take it in any cavalier way. But it was really fascinating. And what I learned was, I really think local government's where things happen. And I used to joke with my friends. I said, you know, someday Fishers is going to become a city. I'm going to be the first mayor of Fishers. Well, that didn't happen, but Greg Ballard won in an obviously unprecedented election and in the right way. And I immediately called Joe Loftus and I said, I need to get on this guy's transition team. Well, I had left the state house and I was working for Lockmuller Engineering in their Indianapolis operation. And I was there all of 90 days before I went to go work for Mayor Ballard, and best decision I've ever made. One of the most incredibly humble leaders that I've had a chance to work with, never had much for the limelight and was all about putting his head down and moving forward. He used to say, we're going to have a bias towards action. And that was really formative for me. My relationship network expanded 100-fold with some really great people that I still have great relationships with today. And just to look back and see all that we did to improve the world around us and to really, we talk about the economy today. Remember what it was like in 2008, right?
Yeah.
The challenges we faced then were just seemingly insurmountable, and yet we found ways to get things done. And that's where sort of the creativity profile in my life came to be, was in that, those formative years with the Ballard administration, because we were forced to be creative. So I would not give that up for anything in the world, and I'm just lucky to have been a part of it.
What was that like? Because I'm always amazed at this. As you look at Greg Ballard, truly a political novice who you know, went into office with zero background in politics, but yet, you know, he used that opportunity, and boy, he got some things done. And it was interesting to me to watch him grow and mature in that right before our eyes, and really be a proactive leader, which is not easy to do. And he did it with no political background. I mean, he grabbed that job and kind of took the bull by the horns.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to do a compare and contrast between he and Governor Daniels, right? I felt like on Mitch's team, the playbook was built. He knew exactly what he was going to do. And your job was to go in there and fulfill that mission. You know, whatever your role was, you knew what the mission was going to be. And for Ballard, it was kind of the opposite end of the spectrum, but equally successful, which is, I'm not going to predetermine anything other than, you know, some basic ways in which we will define success. And you get to be part of making the playbook, right? And so just a very different set of experiences. And what I think makes Greg Ballard such a great leader is just his willingness to trust in the people that he puts around him, right? I mean, and he talks about it all the time, almost to a level of embarrassment for those of us that were fortunate enough to work for him. But he really put an immense amount of trust in all of us. And he could just sense whether you were headed down the right track or not and would help you course adjust. But without knowing exactly what the outcome should look like, he did a great job of sort of marshaling us in a very positive direction. And the outcomes just sort of came one after the other. You know, I remember at that point in time, the federal government was coming out with the stimulus package, and that comes through the congressional funding tracks. And really what we would have ended up with was, you know, just over maybe $20 million in a very restricted funnel of money. And he just said, that's not enough. We've got to do better. And that's where the Citizens Water transaction came from ultimately. And we had a lot of help, but his willingness not to necessarily feel, I've got to know the answers, right? But I just got to know we have to achieve better outcomes. And if we tap our people and let them go, we'll get there. And he ended up being right.
Yeah. Community service, community involvement, I know important to you on the political side. Also, very involved, I know, in the Indiana Sports Corporation Super Bowl committee. As you look back on that and in Indianapolis, hosting the Super Bowl, the job it did, but it's just a, you know, thing that happens every time Indy hosts something, or Indy, I should say, and more broadly, Indiana. We do such a great job hosting these events. What's your take on the state of kind of the sports industry? Because it is so important to the state of Indiana, in particular Indianapolis, but now these communities all over the state, Terre Haute, Fort Wayne, are getting involved in sports as well.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent. We made our path down this road many, many moons ago with the likes of I mentioned Jim Morris, certainly iconic in that regard, Ted Bone, Mark Miles, you know, so many that were involved in sort of shaping that landscape. And I think it's been extremely beneficial to us, not just economically, but in terms of creating a place here in Indiana that we're known for. And, you know, people always say we don't have mountains, and we don't have oceans, and we don't have beaches. But boy, we are the sports capital of the world in a lot of ways, from the Indy 500. You know, I was just out at the Waste Management Open visiting my best friend from Fort Wayne, who lives out there. And while that's a fantastic event in its own right, and it certainly had its notoriety in ways that maybe wouldn't quite be Hoosier-esque, but, you know, they've done something special out there. But really what they're trying to achieve is what we know to be true for decades, right, is putting on a great sporting event and making it more than just the sport itself. And to be part of the Super Bowl, you know, with Allison Melancton and Mark Miles and Derek Burks and you know, all of the folks that were involved in the executive committee, Dave Lewis, so many, Kathy Langham, what we could do again, sort of like talking about these, where our sum is bigger than our parts. You talk about all these great municipalities and these great counties. And what we've found is when we pull together, what we can do is far greater than our individual parts tend to be. We were always the first city to have our $25 million on the table. It wasn't a commitment to raise it. We had it, but we had great relationships, you know, with Eli Lilly and organizations like that, that would absolutely catapult us to the forefront. And, you know, we just wouldn't be where we are without sports and entertainment as part of our fabric. And I think it's great. I think what Indy 11's doing now with this new park, you know, hopefully that comes to fruition here sooner rather than later. But I think that's the next evolution that keeps that sort of heartbeat sort of pulsating through Indiana and bringing the next generation of sports fans and economies of scale to the state.
Yeah. What's next for Paul Okeson as you look ahead, either personally or professionally? What's on the radar?
Well, I got three wonderful kids. And so being a father to three kids is, that's also a full-time job. So Right. You kind of just figure out where it can happen. And I'm having a lot of fun watching them grow up. And my oldest now just starting a new job, doing some in-home care for the elderly. She's really enjoying that. And so it's fun to watch them kind of come into their own. You know, we're expanding into Georgia. And we're on our first full year up in Fort Wayne. And so I'm spending a lot of time making sure those new markets are growing and thriving. I suspect we'll be under procurement yet this year in Georgia and off and running. I think that'll double the size of the company.
Wow.
You know, take us over $500 million. And as long as we continue to manage ourselves and run efficiently and intimately like a family-run company that we are and not become overly corporatized, if you will, I think that's kind of where the focus is managed growth that allows us to just continue to be that family-run business that people have come to rely on for 100 years. And so I'm going to do that for a little bit longer, and then who knows? We'll just have to see. If there's anything left in the tank, we'll see what else we can do.
And we'll be following it. Paul Okeson, the president at Garmon Construction. Paul, thanks for taking the time. Really do appreciate it. Appreciate all of your efforts around the state of Indiana, including in community service as well. Thanks for joining us.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you, Gary. Thank you so much.
All right. And thank you for joining us on this episode of the Business and Beyond podcast. We're a weekly conversation with achievers in business, sports, entertainment, and beyond. And you can download all of our episodes and get Indiana business news 24/7. All you have to do is go to insideindianabusiness.com. I'm Gary Dick. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.